John chapter 21, we're going to look at that in a minute. Of course, we've been doing a little series on Sunday morning about being a legitimate Christian, just being real in your Christianity, not being perfect. No one's ever going to get there, right? And so, but we can strive to be as real Christians as we can. Many of you have heard, how many of you have heard of the Donner Party? Okay, by the way, it's a party you probably didn't want to go to, but the Donner Party in the 1840s was a group of folks traveling in a wagon train here to California. And as they were getting through there, I believe by one of the mountains, maybe the Rocky Mountains, they was getting towards winter, and they had to make a decision how to get here. They decided they wanted to take what they felt was a shortcut that would take them through the mountains. And based on some faulty information, they decided to do that. And as they were doing that up in the mountains, they got hit and slammed by winter, and they got stuck. And my numbers are correct, I believe when I saw it, at about 80 in their party, half of them died, starved to death. Some of those that survived, if you know the story, they survived a little bit because they ate some of the individuals who died. They were that hungry. That shortcut they took really ended up being about 125 miles and at least 2 weeks longer than if they would have just stayed on the regular trail. But they made a bad decision, and it literally led to starvation. We're going to look at something like that this morning. As we look at our story at the end of John, Peter and the disciples had just spent 3 years with Jesus Christ. They had learned many lessons and experienced many amazing things during their time with the Lord. Could you imagine living 3 years with Jesus Christ? Not the 3 years from the time that he went out and started ministering, traveling around, preaching the gospel until his death. They saw thousands fed with just a little bit of food. And by the way, with a lot of leftovers. They had seen people healed of various diseases. They had seen people raised from the dead. They had seen those that were possessed with devils, and the devils were cast out of them. I wish I could do that, because there's some people I'm pretty sure have some devils in them. They're called grandkids. Children. They experienced the crowds that follow Jesus, excuse me, and heard him preach his words to the crowds. What a life-changing 3 years it must have been. And by the way, these weren't quasi-followers. There were many that would come and try to follow Jesus for a little bit, and they heard what he said, and they realized what it took, and they bailed on him. These men were committed. They had forsaken everything and followed him. They had gone through the trials. They had also experienced in some of the blessings. Peter actually walked on the water with him. They went out and preached the gospel. They went out and saw miracles themselves. Peter even, he saw his mother-in-law healed. That may not be a good thing. We're not sure about that. They had experienced lows also. Jesus was arrested. They had let him down before his death. One of their very own, a friend in their mind, and one of their, they thought, fellow disciples had turned on Jesus. And so, in fear and in disillusionment, they forsook Jesus. They saw that he was crucified. Peter even denied him. By the way, the whole point of their spending 3 years with Jesus was to train them for this very moment, was to prepare them for that time when Jesus would go through what he was going through, and he would be gone, and they would pick up the mantle. And they would go out and preach the gospel and reach this world. Now, we're going to talk about a little sidetrack they took, but thankfully they did eventually do that. It was their time now that Jesus was going away. There was the gospel to preach. There was people to help, and there was a mission to fulfill. Now, with all this as a backdrop, excuse me, Peter now makes a decision, a bad one. He had been called from fishing to become a fisher of men. Now that Jesus is dead, and the disappointment of all that just happened is fresh in his mind, Peter makes a decision. Look at verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. He's saying, I'm going back. This wasn't some small fishing trip, I think. Not like Brother Ross is always, hey, let's go fishing. He just doesn't want to work, that's all. Just kidding. He likes to fish. But Peter's like, all that's going on, everything that's happened, I'm going to go fishing. I'm going back. What, in essence, he is doing is now he's going backward to the life that he had before. For how long? I don't know. It was the life he willingly at one time forsook to follow Jesus, and now through disappointment and maybe disillusionment, he's saying, I'm going back. And he takes the other disciples with him, some of them. Well, they go out fishing. Now, by the way, these guys aren't novices. These guys aren't weekend warriors. These guys were professionals. They knew fishing. And so they get together, they get out there, they go fishing. And how does it work? Well, they were out all night, and here was their result. They caught nothing. Have you ever taken a fishing trip and you draw a blank? How many of you ever done that? Robert, you probably do it all the time. we haven't went in a few years, but we used to go every year, Brother Ross and I and some of the guys. And we went one year, and I think it was a little bit cold, and the water was really low. And I think between us in 2 days, we caught one. And I think I remember, Tim, we went that one time, and we didn't catch anything. I don't remember what you, and that stupid fish swam right up to the shore. I think it got hit by a rock or something. It was like, ooh, and it swam right up to us, right? Like, Tim's like, that's not the kind of fish you want to keep. There's something wrong with it. Kind of like our dog, right? But we caught nothing. Now, the next year we went, and it was good. We caught so many fish, the game warden came to our cabin. Someone narked on us. But we were under limit as a group, okay? But it's frustrating when you go out and you catch nothing, right? I'm not a fisherman by trade or whatever. That's why whenever I go, I take Brother Ross. He knows what's going on. And it's like, Brother Ross, I really don't care. Give me the bait, set me up, put me in the right spot, and I better catch fish. We went, that time was great. But when you catch nothing, it's very frustrating. Could you imagine these guys? They go back, they go out fishing. What they did for a living, they're like, well, at least maybe this will work. Nothing. They draw a big fat zero. Kind of reminds me of John 15:5. For without me, you can do nothing. Well, as they're out there counting their zero fish, there's someone on the shore. Now, they don't know it at the time, but it's actually the Lord Jesus. He asked them if they caught anything. He says, do you have any meat? They're like, no. They didn't even give an explanation. It was a one-word answer. No, I got nothing. So the man on the shore gives them a command. Cast your nets on the other side of the boat. On the other side. Now, I'll give them credit. They do. And they catch so many fish, they can't even haul it in. Then they get their understanding back, and it's like, it's Jesus. Maybe it's the fish. I'm not sure. Peter jumps out of the boat, swims to Jesus. All of them make their way back. And as they arrive on this, they notice the fire on the shore. And as they look at that fire on their shore, they also notice the one thing that had eluded them on their initial trip. There's fish. Jesus has fish ready for them. By the way, I think you all know I don't like fish. People say, why don't you eat fish, Pastor Myers? Jesus ate fish. Well, he walked on water too, and I don't do that. okay? I don't want to be perfect. I don't like fish. What's the point? I want to draw attention to the question that Jesus asked in verse 5. Can you look at it, please? Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered, no. See, what happened is they left their new life. They left that 3 years of being with Jesus and all that they saw. Excuse me. This morning I'm trying to clear this out. And everything they had learned and everything he had prepared them for, and they went backwards. And you know what happened? They got nothing. Fact of the matter is, if they had to live on what they caught while they were out there, they would have starved to death. Jesus didn't say, do you have any meat? Have you caught enough to even eat? I mean, is there something there to prepare a meal? It's like, no. It's not working. That was their business. And because they went backward to what they had forsaken, they didn't get enough for anything. If you would have asked them, hey, how are things going? They would have said, not good. Remember years ago, my wife and I were out of town, and my little granddaughter, Annie at the time, I think was 3, and she fell, and she got a little hairline fracture on her arm. So we called, and hey, Annie, how are you doing? I'm like, how's everything going? And she, as a 3-year-old, she said, not good. I'm like, I guess not. That's what they would have said. It's not good. Why? Because they went back to the old life. They went backward. And it's not good. Now, I want to look this morning in the few minutes we have. I want to look at this from 3 angles. The 3 angles of going backward in our life. By the way, Christians do that all the time. Do we not? We start to make progress in our life. We start to do things. We may have even made commitments, and something happens, and we start stepping back. It's never good. Let me look at 3 angles. First of all, I want us to look backward. Look backward. Before anybody goes backward in their faith, like these men did, they start to dwell on present issues, which will cause them to look backward with more fondness than they should. By the way, that happens all the time. Satan is a brilliant marketer. He is. He just knows how to get us to buy into nonsense. And things aren't going well, and now we look back at that old life, or if you've not lived that old life, maybe you've grew up in church, you start to look back at how others lived that life, and there's a fondness there for us. And for those of us that maybe got saved later, we just have the wrong skewed attitude about that old life. Yeah, Peter was a businessman, but hadn't he been much more fulfilled fishing for men? Hadn't he been much more fulfilled those last 3 years following the Savior? Hadn't he been much more fulfilled finding out what Jesus had for him to do and just following it? But now he's looking backward, and he's going backward. What caused him to do that? Well, there's several problems in looking backward. First of all, there's a failure problem. You see, Peter had just come through a major spiritual setback. See, it was more than just Jesus being put to death. Peter had messed up. Peter, who promised he would die for Jesus. Peter, who promised he would follow him, even if nobody else would. Peter had forsaken him. Peter had denied him. Peter had cursed and swore and said he didn't even know him. And that was a problem. That was a failure. Isn't that what causes us to go backwards sometimes? We have some type of spiritual failure in our lives. And then you know what happens? Satan steps right in to throw it in our face and to tell us, you know what? This isn't working for you. You need to go back. By the way, nowhere in the Bible does it tell us we're going to be perfect when we're Christians. I sure wish we could be. But we're way better off than we were without Christ, amen? we're a lot farther down the road as we travel it. But listen, something happens in your life and you get discouraged about it, and you start looking back at the old life with some type of fondness and some type of memory of how wonderful it was. And listen, it wasn't wonderful. We have selective memory. How come we don't remember the misery? How come we don't remember the just the life of just scraping by? And I mean, I understand life is like that. You got to work and you got to pay your bills. You got to take care of things. You got things you got to work through. All of us have that. But boy, it's a lot harder to do that when you don't have a spiritual purpose in life. It's a lot harder to do that when you don't have an eternal view or mindset that there is a time. Look, if I wasn't saved, what is going on this year would be horrific. To think that all there is what's on this earth would be depressing. And that's why a lot of people are depressed. That's why a lot of people are hurting. Thank God we have the answer for them. But don't let that push you back to that life that you had, that life without Christ. Let me give you a verse in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 16. It says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again." You say, Pastor Myers, and by the way, let me say this so there's a balance here. I'm not for you messing up. I'm not for me messing up. But let me just tell you this. If you've had a spiritual setback, get up. Take the challenge. Just say, Lord, that's not what I want to be. And I know I can have your forgiveness. And I know through your power, I can get through this, Lord. Help me to get through this. Don't quit. We don't need spiritual quitters. And that's for your sake. A setback is only horrific when it becomes permanent. You can get up. Thank God. I wouldn't have you here, but do this, because I can look around the crowd and I know a lot of you and I know where you came from. But there's a lot in here, if you could testify, you could say, I've had a spiritual setback. And there's a lot of you that could step up and say, but praise God, I got through it. I got through it. Don't let it take you back. Well, there was also a faith problem. A faith problem. You see, these men had spent years with Christ. Jesus had told them that this time was coming. He tried to just tell them flat out, I'm going to be killed. That's why I came. Did they selectively chop out some of the parts of the messages that he preached? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is... Did they not hear that? But their faith, when everything happened, I know the emotions took over, but they should have stopped and thought, now wait a minute. He tried to prepare us for this. He told us this was going to happen. All shall be well. Life is like that. We struggle sometimes. Even with that, the best life you can ever live is the committed Christian life. I believe that with all my heart. But that doesn't mean that there's not twists and turns. That doesn't mean that there's not challenges. That doesn't mean that things don't happen sometimes that we have to deal with. You know, people tell you if you're a Christian, God has a wonderful plan for your life, and he does. And all will be well. And it is, but not always. Spiritually, all is well. Purposely, all is well. But sometimes there's some things that happen in life we just can't. You know, Jesus is great and everything's wonderful, and then you get sick or you go through a trial. Someone close to you dies. You lose your job, and on and on and on. Life didn't turn out the way I thought. And then people take the next step. This Christian life just isn't working. Can I just tell you something? Problems are part of life, whether you're saved or not. And I would rather go through problems with Christ than without him. I'm just telling you. You think of those men that they got in the ship and they're crossing the other side and a storm comes. Listen, if there were other boats in the water, they were having the same storm. That's just how life is. Thinking that you get disillusioned because something happens in your life and you think that it's God's fault and you move on, problems will still come. But who's going through those with you? Don't go back because of that. Don't base your faith or God's love for you based on the unpleasant circumstances in life. We look at what's going on in life and we judge God's love for us based on that. Things like, I don't know, 2020. Just look, did you? I'm going to give you a news flash. God knew about 2020. He did. It's better to go. I'm glad that I went through this. I'm going through this with him than without it, than I would going without him. Aren't you? How many of you, I'm not going to have you raise your hand, but you probably know people, and maybe if you get to go to work, you go to work, and they're kind of confused about all that's going on in this world. Aren't you glad we have a little bit more of a solid foundation? But it's a faith issue. Am I just going to trust God that he knows what's going on and he's going to work? And then looking backwards is because there's a fear problem. Fearful. All those emotions just took over. There's always a fight between faith and fear, isn't there? Well, what were to happen if I were to lose my job? What were to happen if this would happen? What would happen to me if this circumstance occurs? We spend all our time worrying about things that typically will never happen. And so when things aren't happening, we're stressed because we're worrying that they could happen. And then when they do happen, we're stressed because they did happen. Okay, so when are you not going to worry? When are you not going to be fearful? We need to quit being fearful about life. We need to quit being fearful of things that could happen. God is in control. And this fear that they had, it caused them to look back. Now, there's another aspect I want us to look. We looked at looking backward. What about living backward? Living backward. They decided to go back. Peter and I believe it was 6 or 7 others went. What was that? How did that affect their life? When they started going backward, how did that affect them? Well, there are several things. First of all, they lost others. Verse 3, after Peter said, I go fishing, they say unto him, we go with thee. Peter didn't just go back, get back. 6 others went with him. Yep. Understand that. Listen to me now. You don't have to listen earlier or later, but listen now. I'm kidding. The decisions you make affect others. Right. Hey, parents, if you go backwards because of a lack of faith or fear or the other things that we mentioned, it doesn't just affect you. We are so selfish in our living, and I throw myself in there. We make decisions based solely on ourselves without any thought as to how this is going to affect somebody else. You know, when you got married, you need to chuck that out the window. Yeah. What you do affects your spouse. Well, what about me time? When you said I do, your me time is now our time. You say, oh, wait a minute. No, I still need, you need nothing. Now, by the way, you'll be fine. That's a selfish thing. By the way, that's how problems start. Let me go ahead and just say something. I still want to go out with my girlfriends. You're married now. Ditch your girlfriends. Yeah. I still want to go out with my boyfriends. Okay, the guys don't have boyfriends. My bad. Oh, my son-in-law Ryan does, but I just kidding. I'm kidding, Ryan. I want to go out with my buddies. Can I just tell you something? Let me make this really clear. When I got married, I got a new buddy. Okay? And we're acting, you can't act like a single person anymore. That's not going over very well. Those of you that got engaged, I'm not saying you don't have friends. And I'm not saying you can't do occasional things. Don't get me wrong. But we're just, well, I need me. I need me. That's selfish. And then you have children. Okay? And I'm not saying you can't have friends. But you know what I'm saying. But we just take all, and that type of mentality spiritually steps out too. What about me? Well, what about, I'm going to make this major decision. Go ahead, but stop for a second, please. And look at your spouse, your marriage, your family, and really even your everybody you can influence. It affects them. Now, let me step it up even one step further. May I? If you're involved in ministry, which 2020 has completely slashed the throat of that, but I'm saying, wait, if you're involved in ministry, what you do affects that too. We've went soul winning enough. Well, I used to go to church, but there was this person in my other church that did this, and I was disillusioned. Many years, in the early days of the church, I think the first 2 years when we started the church, every Sunday night, it started with Pastor Esposito and myself. Every Sunday night, him and I would go out to dinner. And we would go out to dinner, and the church was brand new. We had no clue what we were doing. He knew what he was doing. I had no clue what I was doing. But we would sit down, and we would talk about the day and what we did, and is there things we could do better, ideas and plans. We did that for the first 2 years. And as other people came on board with the church, the key men, we would do that. But I remember early on, him and I were at the, I believe it was the Denny's downtown here. We would go late on Sunday night, so sometimes we had to eat at places that were kind of like a McDonald's restaurant type thing. We were sitting there, and there was a lady that was there was a lady that was serving us, and she kind of was listening to our conversation, and she said, "Did you guys go to Hiles Anderson?" And we're like, "Yeah, we did." She said, "You know, I went there." And Pastor Esposito said, "Really, what church you go to?" She goes, "I don't go to church anymore." And he goes, "Why? Why don't you go to church?" And she said, "You know, after I graduated, I got a job working in a church." She goes, "And the pastor ran off with some lady." She goes, "And I just figure if that's how they are, I ain't going to church." Now, that pastor made a mistake, but he didn't realize that that affected other people. Yep. Now, she'll respond to God for that, and we tried to encourage her a little bit, invite her to church. But listen, everything we do has consequences for others. Our family, our friends, those we influence. Yes, Peter thought, "I'm going fishing." He took six of them. That's like more than half, especially with Judas booted out. We lose opportunity when we go back. Jesus had called them to fishing, but not regular fishing. He had called them from that to this. And the fishing he called them to was fishing of men. What an opportunity. He called them to an opportunity of reaching people, encouraging people, helping people, getting the church up and started. Yes, there was going to be difficult roads, but what those disciples accomplished is nothing short of miraculous. Yeah. What an opportunity! And they almost blew it because they were willing to go back to the old life. They started living the old way. What kind of opportunity are we losing when we go back to the way we used to live? And we don't see that. All we see is what we want and the selfishness and the fulfillment of the flesh and all of that. And we forget everything God laid out for us, everything that God had for us. Oh, we're losing opportunity when we go back to the old life. We also lose the optics. Why optics? It starts with the O like the rest of them. In other words, We don't see very well anymore. We just don't see it. Verse 4 says, "But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus." They didn't know it was Jesus. I mean, they did spend 3 years with him. By the way, remember when he was walking on the water when they were in the storm? They thought he was a spirit. So during the difficult times in life, when it was starting to get away from them, their recognition of what was right and who was right was totally skewed. Yeah. That's what happens. Joseph mentioned it on Thursday. Prudence. We don't see it. The things in life that we would avoid, the issues in life we would avoid, we no longer see them for what they really are. Because we're going back to that old life. Listen, I don't have to go back to the old life. I can look at the old life, and I know that, you know what, there was nothing good there. Yeah. There was no spirituality there. And I can look back now after all these years and say, thank God that God got me out of that by his grace, and I was able to choose the right road. Because there's nothing good there. See, you get talked out of it by people who can't claim to be Christians. Oh, what's wrong with that? Oh, I don't know. Crack open a Bible. See, we're too loose with things. And our spiritual discernment level is a big fat zero. Yep. The things that Christians can excuse doing shock me. It just shocks me. You hear these guys, well, you know, I went to this church, this one pastor, and he's just like, you know, we're just doing this and that and the other. It's like, man, read the New Testament. How can you not read the New Testament and not see just the nonsense going on in our world that we can avoid? Yep. You know why? We started going back to that old life. And we just don't see things correctly. And that's just how it works. That's just how it works. Well, they lost the optics. Now, lest we end on a negative note, I want us to look thirdly at leaving backward. Okay? Let's get away from there. That's not where we want to live. We don't want to live that old life. By the way, some of you that maybe you've never lived the new life, flee that. I'm going to stand up and tell you, come this direction, it's good. How do we leave backward? By the way, the Bible tells us we should, right? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You know what that means? You're not what you were before, so don't stay there. Amen. Ephesians 4:24, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's pretty point blank, isn't it? We want to be a new man and live unrighteous and unholy and then excuse it and Christian liberty. You don't even know what Christian liberty is. Christian liberty from the law has to do with salvation. It has to do with trying to live the law to earn God's unmerited favor. It has nothing to do with living right because I'm saved and I'm a new person. But that's a message for another day. So how can we leave backward? Well, let me give you a couple thoughts. Review the failure. Verse 5, Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered, no. You know what Jesus is saying? How's it going, guys? You've been out there all night. This is what you do for a living. Look, if I go fishing by myself and Brother Ross isn't there, he's kind of like my fishing security blanket. If I go fishing, they're like, no, I know a little bit. I know that if you're fishing for catfish, you have to use that little dark stuff. I'm not even going to tell you what it looks like. It smells like death. That's what catfish like. And then if you're going for trout, it's the rainbow. It's not rainbow. What's the power bait? Bang. And then if I'm not mistaken, Robert Bass, you have to do the lures, right? And you got to kind of move it. That's the only three I know. Say, how do you catch a shark? Well, I don't want to catch a shark. Yeah. We were at the couples retreat. We were walking on the pier, and we got to the end, and this guy was pulling in a huge fish, and I waited. He pulled in a shark. I tried to bite him. I'm like, I like trout. They don't bite. You know? So that's about all I know. But if you ask me, it's like, I'm not a professional. I don't know. If I'm by myself, it's like, how it's going? Probably bad. The only thing I'm thinking about is how bad the catfish bait stinks. These guys are professionals. They must have thought, we failed tonight. It's not going very well. And Jesus is trying to get them to think that way, I believe. Look at your life. If you've slipped at all or you've never come forward, look at your life and tell me, is it really going well? I didn't ask if you have money in the bank. I didn't ask where you live or what you're driving. I'm asking you, how's life going? Do you have real joy? Not just the excitement that comes when you're out with your buddies, but it's just nothing more than nonsense. Do you have a real joy where you get up in the morning like, thank God I'm alive today. Thank God Jesus knows me. You got to review that. Satan gets us to think on the wrong things and we never think about the other things. So you got to look back and review it. Be honest with yourself. If things aren't going well, there's a reason. By the way, I'll tell you this. It's especially dangerous for those of you who have walked with God. Because you really do know a lot more. You've experienced it. Now you're going back to the other way. You better be very, very careful. Review the failure. Reject the feelings. Verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. I'll give them credit, because here's what I would have thought, John. I'm out here all night. I'm out here all this year. I haven't caught anything. I know what I'm doing. This stranger is telling me to throw my net on the other side of the ship. I mean, that's just a matter of a few feet. How are you going to do that? By the way, it wasn't just like, okay, huh. That was a lot of effort. But you know what? They rejected those feelings and they did what they were told to do. And it turned out right. Take your feelings out of the equation. By the way, we all have feelings and they're all like very, very faulty. Well, I got up this morning, Pastor Myers, and Jesus was just so sweet. I just felt so good. Amen. But what about when you wake up tomorrow and Jesus isn't feeling so sweet and you're tired? You still do what you're supposed to do, right? We don't do it because. Now, I'm saying, now, if you always get up and you think about Jesus and you never have good feelings, we need to talk. But there are times when your feelings are a little bit cattywampus. You know how you get through those times? Don't listen to the feelings. We listen to our feelings way too often. Way too often. Just during those times when you're struggling, just do what you're supposed to do until you get through it. Until you get through it. I'm glad they rejected those feelings. And then lastly, receive the food. Verse 21, verse 9. And as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which you have now caught. And Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153, and for there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. Now, maybe I'm wrong here, but did you catch that? They brought the fish to the shore, but if I'm reading the Bible correctly, there was already fish there ready to go. Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? Not ha 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 funny. Okay. The very thing that they were looking for that they couldn't get on their own was waiting for them with Jesus. Let that sink in for a minute. Do you know the things you're looking for in life? You're not going to find them apart from Christ. And if you do, they're not going to be fulfilling and they're going to be fleeting. That must have been embarrassing. Like, here we are all night. We show up to the shore. Jesus has already got fish ready. And then the only fish we do have is because he had to tell us what to do. You really want to get what you need in life? You only find it in Christ. Quit being lied to. Don't let Satan lie to you. You have to do this to find fulfillment in life. Follow your own plan. Don't follow God's will. Living that Christian life's restricted. If you want freedom and joy, do your own thing. Those are all lies. Go up to the fire, and Jesus said, what are you looking for? It's right here. It's ready. Come and dine. They didn't even have to cook. I mean, you would have thought about that. Now we got to go up on the shore. We got to grab the fish. We got to clean them, scale them. Yada. And by the way, why you would eat fish, I have no clue. I would hope that I went there. Jesus had like something else on the other side. Hey, I got some chicken and mashed potatoes for you. That's fine. But it's right there, and it's already ready to go. Come and dine. That's an invitation. Can I just tell you something? An invitation can be received or rejected. Salvation is an invitation. And I hope you received it. Can I just tell you something? The abundant life's an invitation too. So what about us today? Are we following Christ? If you've been around for a while, you've been saved, have you started to slowly drift back to the life that you used to live? Are you kind of giving up ground in your faith? That's where it starts, by the way. You see, when you give up ground in your faith, the thing you're really looking for, you're drifting from it. And by the way, the things we think we're looking for, most people, to be honest with you, are looking for joy and fulfillment in life, but they think it's found in money. They think it's found in doing your own thing. They think it's found in living the life, whatever that is, Instagram life. No. It's right here. Amen. It's on the fire next to Jesus. Have you started the slide? Hey, let's get back to where we want to be. You know, he helped them. He wanted them back. He didn't say, man, what a waste of 3 years. Let's just move on and pick out somebody else. No, these were his guys. Can I tell you something? If you're saved, you're his guys too. He wants us. Are we going to drift? There's nothing there. If you drift and go back to the old life, let me just tell you this and I'm done. Here's what you're going to find out. do you have any meat? Here's the answer, no. That's it. You're going to starve spiritually. But with the Savior is everything that you need. Let's stand this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a minute. Let's just settle in for just 1 second here as we think. I want us to think about the message. Do you think that fulfillment is found in Christ? Now, if I asked any of you individually, you'd probably all say, oh, yeah, sure, Pastor, yeah, yeah, yeah. Do we really? Or are we looking for it somewhere else? It's not found outside of Jesus Christ. Maybe you have suffered some issues, some circumstances, some unpleasantries in life, and it's starting to trip you up a little bit. Don't let it get to you. Don't let anything push you away from your faith. Let's stay strong. Let's stay with it today. Because everything you need in life, and honestly, everything you want in life, is only going to be found within your life with Jesus Christ. It's amazing. We step away to try to find the things that are waiting for you on the shore. And it's because we believe the lie. And I'll just be honest with you. It is easy for us to be deceived, is it not? Whether it's a circumstance in life, a problem in life, an emotional time we're going through. If you're seeking to be a spiritual individual that's close to Christ, it's not going to happen if you're stepping away from Him. All that's there is frustration and spiritual starvation. Maybe you're here this morning and you don't know Christ as your Savior. The news is even worse for you, because not trusting Christ, not being a Christian, doesn't just starve you spiritually. It leads to an eternity without Christ. If you're here this morning and you would say, you know, Pastor, I am not 100% for sure, without any doubt whatsoever, that if I were to die today, I'd go to heaven. I don't know that for sure, but that's something I would like to know. Pastor, would you pray for me? If that's you, would you do me a favor? Raise your hand so I can pray for you. I'm not sure if I were to die, I'd go to heaven, Pastor, but I'd like to know. Pray for me. Is there anybody like that at all? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I'm so glad, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for our life. Father, I pray that you would help us to buy into the new life. We're new in Christ, but we have to put on the new man in righteousness and holiness. And I pray you'd help us to do that, Lord. If we're struggling this morning, Lord, that's being human, even though we're saved. I pray you'd give us the strength and the spiritual foresight to not follow our feelings, not to follow the trends of this world that would push us away from you and push us away from where the fish really can be found. Be with us as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.